Now we want to go into another kind of meditation. God is here. God is the only one here. And 100% of God is here. Now let's apply that to the crucifixion of Jesus and these two thieves. And let's stand there in the consciousness that he undoubtedly was in. God is here. Only God is here. 100% of God is here. And let's see these two thieves as they really were. Think of the 1,000 judgments your mind makes every day. And if you had been there that day, you would have seen two thieves. Your mind would have said, that's a thief and that's a thief. And that one in the middle, he's just a religious agitator. And your mind would have been wrong in all three cases. Science would have said, well, those three are going to die. There's no way out of it. It's just scientifically impossible for them not to die. That's what happens to people when they get crucified. And science says the same today. Every mortal must die. There's no question about it. All science can do is delay the death. But even the scientist knows he must die. But God is the only one present. And all of God is present. And there is no opposite to that presence who is dying. Are you going to believe your mind or the teaching of the Christ, which is saying, step above your mind? Is it not true that Jesus abolished death? What did it mean? It means he abolished the belief in those who could come to the understanding that death could ever exist. Because God is not dying. And God is the invisible reality everywhere you look. So we are being lifted above the belief in mortality. Again, the belief in mortality out there must diminish and dissolve if you are accepting Christ there. Christ and mortality are not both there. So that's the step you take when you forgive. Oh no, Christ is there and therefore there's no mortal there. There's no terrorist there. That's hard to do, isn't it? Especially when they hijack a plane. Or they drive a truck into an embassy with dynamite in it. There's only the Spirit of God there. My mind is a slave of the world mind, which peoples the world with mortal flesh. Are you illumined or unillumined? Are you looking for the kingdom of God with human eyes? Do you expect to see paradise with an eye or hear it with a human ear? The things of God do not come with observation. They come by spiritual discernment, which means above the evidence, the testimony, the concepts, of the world mind functioning through your individual mind. Now, if you are the Christ there, and there, and there, can you identify any more as a self sitting in a chair somewhere? Is that self in a chair you? Was that self on a cross, Jesus? Where is yourself? You see what we're coming to? When you forgive individuals throughout the world, you are unseeing the material appearances. You are accepting your presence there, and you are no longer localizing your presence in this spot. I tell you, that is the prelude to liberation. When you are no longer digging a grave in one spot, you are being emancipated from the world mind. That's the purpose behind universal forgiveness, universal recognition of the Christ. And that's how you end crucifying your own Christ self. I'd like you now to take yourself out of this spot. Take yourself off the cross to which you are nailed as a mortal being. Get yourself out of that sense of body which you know has only one destination. You're not in it. Either the world mind will crucify you in this body, or you will crucify the world mind. And that's a tall order that we're all going to do. We are joining that limited group who has learned that they must crucify the world mind. And we are crucifying it by stepping out of the belief that we are not the infinite Christ. While you're meditating, I'm going to read to you something Paul wrote. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. That statement by Paul is a statement that has to be made even more absolute. We say we are joint heirs with Christ, meaning there is one infinite Christ, and it is I. That is the glory that awaits all who can rise above the world mind. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Again, we are to go beyond the concepts of our mind, beyond the expectation that our mind can uncover the treasures of reality. The real teachers are loosening your fidelity and your faith in the capacity of the human mind. The seeming sacrifice is for a greater good. You are being lifted beyond the dimensions of which the mind is capable. There is no paradise in a scientific laboratory. There is no paradise in a temple made with hands. There is no paradise in human affairs. Paradise is in your soul. And paradise is here, not remote, beyond the perimeter of the human mind, beyond the perimeter of the computer. You can't program paradise into a computer. And it is beyond the possibility of death. You cannot touch paradise and die. They're incompatible. And when you step into Christ, you discover you are in paradise, for Christ already is in paradise. There's no journey to paradise. There's just a journey in consciousness to Christ. That's what Paul is trying to tell us about. Eyes have not seen and ears have not heard the true glories of God, to make you realize that the brilliance of your human mind will not get you a visa into paradise. Now, if Christ had spoken directly to the thief and said the absolute truth, he would have said something the thief could not understand. He would have said, "Son, you never left paradise. I don't have to take you there. You're there. Son, you're not mortal flesh. You're hypnotized. You're sleeping like Adam. You're blind. You are in paradise. But you're using a human mind that can't see that deeply. And although Christ didn't say that, he said what could be understood. Today thou wilt be with me, I, the living Christ, in paradise. Because I too am always in paradise. I've never left there. If you don't stray into mortality, you'll discover you're in paradise. But as soon as you put your faith back in the human mind, you're out. you are out of paradise. You'll be there, but you won't know you're in it. Because the human mind has its own great exploits. It wants to explore outer space. That's its equivalent of paradise. And no matter what the human mind does with the body, it eventually buries that body because it never finds paradise. The greatest human brains always bury their own bodies. The Christ mind has no body to bury. Now we all know God is here. We accept it. We know it's true. Let's also accept that God is thinking, and that divine thought must be where God is. Divine thought is where God is. Let's accept this as the first step in a major meditation. Divine thought must be here because God is here. You know 99% of the world is not listening to divine thought here every day. We can. We must. We cannot ignore divine thought. We do when our minds are busy. We don't ignore our own thought, or the thoughts of people who talk to us, or the thoughts of people we tell what to do, or others who tell us what to do. Those thoughts we don't ignore. We ignore divine thought as if it had no existence. But it is here eternally, always thinking. And you know what? There's a peculiar thing about divine thought. It doesn't stop with just thinking. Divine thought always manifests. Divine thought is also called omniscience. Omniscience is always here, thinking. Why would it waste its time thinking if that's where it stops? Divine thought is manifesting what it thinks, independent of you, independent of me. It has the power to manifest itself, and it is doing so. The omnipotence of God is manifesting its own omniscience, always. You have invisible manifestation all around you. That's two parts of meditation so far. Divine thought is present. Omniscience is present. Always. I can tune into it. Omniscience is always manifesting because it has the omnipotence to do so. Nothing can prevent omniscience from manifesting. It is always manifesting a perfect creation. Always manifesting perfect divine thought. And because God is omnipresent, that omniscience and that omnipotence are omnipresent, manifesting perfect creation all around you, now and forever. And God is all. So therefore, there's nothing else here but the invisible, perfect expression of divine thought. That's where you are. And unless you're plugged into it, you run around in a second world, a second universe, a recreated universe, wondering, where is this thing that I need and that thing that I need and how long will I live, and will I be comfortable for the rest of my life, or will I lose an arm or a leg or a hip or a bone? Why? Because we are not tuned into the ever-present divine thought which is manifesting the perfect invisible paradise of God. You can plug into the electricity in any part of this room. It'll all be the same electricity. You can go 50 feet away, it's the same electricity. In omnipresence, it's the same perfection, no matter where you plug in. And how do you do it? That's the third part of the meditation. When you are able to step out of this little form into the everywhereness of your Christhood, you are bringing soul and spirit into a glorious oneness. Christ in you is quickened into the realization that it is you everywhere, and you are plugged into divine thought which is manifesting everywhere. Infinity must flow through you in all its perfection to whatever degree is necessary in the expression which is called your life. You have that power where you are, always. Furthermore, it can never be taken away from you, any more than the thief could lose it once it was given to him and once he found the way. Now that three-part meditation, then, is the awareness of the presence of divine thought, which means nothing until you can feel it. You know divine thought is not evil. You know it's not sickness. You know it's not hate. You know it's not lack or limitation. You know it is none of the things called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That divine thought is the tree of life. It's present. It's flowering. It's the invisible secret of the infinite resources of the infinite Father. That's the way the Father feeds the Son. But you've got to be willing to come to the feast. You must be aware that divine thought is present. And that means this little cranium is in the way. It's competing with divine thought. It must open. And you begin to slide your listening away from the brain to what is called the heart. You begin to feel truth instead of logic and reason. Instead of trying to learn by observation. The things we're trying to learn come not through logic, reason, and observation. They have a function and a purpose, but not this purpose. We're feeling with the heart. And that becomes intuition. And that blossoms into a living soul awareness. With your soul, you tune into divine thought. And through your soul, divine thought manifests into your life. Literally, God manifests through your soul. And when you have accepted Christ, that soul awakens in its travel through the four kingdoms of earth and it feels the lifting up, and it responds. It is drawn from the world mind. It becomes a vehicle for the thought of God. And those are the fowls of the air that you read about in the fifth chapter of Genesis. Those fowls of the air begin to be the divine thoughts that enter your quickened soul, and they manifest the will and the power of God. You become an instrument for the divine. And much more than that happens. That is how you connect up to infinity. One, divine thought is present. I'm walking through it as a physical being, unaware of, but it's present everywhere. You know, radio waves are present. You know, TV waves are present. Now go deeper. They're only imitations. Divine thought is what's here. You'll have to do a good deal of meditation on the presence of divine thought rising above your own thinking capacity to just be an open receiver. Meek unto divine thought. Without thought. Pure at heart. And into this open vessel, without concept or belief, with no yesterdays, with no opinions, with no judgments, just open. Divine thought will pour living water. And without you doing anything about it, divine thought will manifest as tomorrow's experiences. Divine thought will come forth in the sequences of time, in the sizes, shapes, and forms that are needed. And you will begin to suspect that you are walking in a new universe, like unto paradise, where the laws are different, where hunger is impossible, where to find food is plentiful and available. For your soul eats a different food. It eats the divine thought of the Father, which is infinite. Now this is the modus operandi of bringing harmony by accepting divine thought, which itself expresses the will of God. So that you don't go around hunting for the will, but rather you surrender to divine thought, which contains the will, which is propelled by the will. And then the Father is building the house, going before you to manifest invisibly. And one day the manifestation comes forth into time as something we call matter. But it is divinely motivated. It has your name on it. Now this is how grace works. And this takes you out of the jungle of humanhood If you have to be where a missile is not, you'll be there. If it has to lift you off the face of the earth, it will lift you off the face of the earth. If it has to put you in a secret place, it will put you there. If it has to part the Red Sea, it will part it. When you are one with divine thought, the manifestation that is called your life will be under divine law. It doesn't just happen. You have to cooperate. And the key to it is accepting yourself to be the Christ of your friend and your enemy, of every nation, of the born and the unborn. And then you are tuned to divine thought. No other way. Let's review that important meditation to be sure you have it. Divine thought, first, God is here. That's right. You've got to know that. God is here. Only God is here. 100% of God is here. That has to be bone of your bone. With that knowledge, you can then proceed to the meditation, which is divine thought is here. Because God is here, God's thought is here. It contains the substance of life. It goes before everyone on the face of this globe. It lives in every century. It lives now throughout eternity. It lives in days that have not yet appeared. It is alive in all that we call the past. Divine thought is omnipresent. Divine thought is like a living force. It is a living force. If you can just get it now to come through you, you will see the power of divine thought in operation. But it will not come through human flesh. It will not come through a mortal being. It will only come through the Son of God. Again, you must drop mortality. You must shift from water to wine, from matter to the wine of spirit. You must accept immortal Christ. The immortality of Christ is your plug to enter and receive divine thought. And now you're into divine thought, which manifests everywhere, only the perfect creation. And you find your law, your life is under the law of Christ. It doesn't matter what the situation. The prophet Amos had something beautiful to tell us. And I hope he's still with us. I'm looking at verse 13 and 14 of Amos in chapter 9. I think it's fitting to our discussion today. Behold, the days come with the Lord that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes shall overtake him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people, of Israel, and they shall build the waste-type cities and inhabit them. Israel is not a nation. Israel is those who follow, living as the Spirit of God. It's very important to know. The literal acceptance of this has caused a great deal of strife. Israel is those who have accepted the Spirit of God as their being, and as the being of all who walk the face of the earth. It isn't my little Israel here, and you are nothing. It's I am the Spirit of God, and you are the Spirit of God. That makes you Israel. Until then, you're not. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens, that's a reference to paradise, and eat the fruit thereof. And I will plant them upon their land, meaning their new consciousness, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Amos, like many of the other prophets, was witnessing in consciousness the attainment of paradise by those who accept the spiritual nature of being, who accept the omnipresence of that spirit, and listen for the omniscience of the Father, which then expresses its omnipotence as the perfect creation of God in all that you see, do, and feel. This is our path to paradise so far, that we may no longer be strangers in paradise. Let's be silent for a moment. The individual mind is always on the cross telling us that we must die. If it isn't today, it's tomorrow. That thief is always on the cross. And the other thief is always talking to this thief. The world mind is talking to the individual mind. And always Christ is saying, come unto me, within yourself. Always Christ is breaking the veil. And he shall destroy in this mountain the face of the covering over all people. The world mind veil. And the veil that is spread over all generations. And he will swallow up death in victory. It's not a statement alone by Isaiah. It's what we see in the teaching of the thief on the cross. It's what we see in the life of Jesus, which was expressing the life of Christ that we too are to express. As I said, we're seeking no more new prophecies. We are now into the fulfillment of the prophecies that have been made. And one of those prophecies is Paradise Now.